What's going on? What's happening? What are you telling me?
I would like to extend to you an invitation to the pants party.
It's time for the Pop Culture Connoisseurs, a gal and a gay podcast with Kitty.
One time she punched me in the face. It was awesome.
And Nick.
He's the gay of my dreams.
And they have this book, this burn book, where they write mean things about all the girls in our grade.
What does it say about me?
You're not in it.
Those bitches.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 166 of A Gal and a Gay Pop Culture Connoisseurs. I'm Kitty. Joined
and
by
I'm Mitch.
Yeah, Mitch. Mitch, Kit, whatever.
Yeah, whatever you want to call us.
Yeah, you know, whatever. We started using these sort of pseudonyms before, but now we don't really need them anymore. But so, Kat.
Our secret identities are out.
Right. Doesn't matter anymore. So, anyway, we have a lot to talk about in this episode.
We do. And Before we get to our special guest, I would like to make an announcement that we are now on Spotify. Were you worried?
I was worried because I was like, what are you about to announce?
I'm moving to Texas.
Yay!
You're getting a roommate.
Yay.
Actually, you're getting four roommates.
Oh, okay.
Because I'm the family with me.
What family are we talking about?
Okay.
The husband, the dog, and the cat? Because that's fine.
Yes. Okay. Yes. We are not bringing anyone else.
Okay, great, good. Well, that's okay. By the time you move here, I'll have my new house, so it'll be great.
That's true. I can't wait.
Exactly.
So exciting.
I know.
And we'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
Off podcast.
I forgot we were recording.
I know. We've been talking a lot tonight.
We have been talking a lot tonight.
We have recorded a couple conversations. That you guys will be able to listen to in the next couple of podcasts. Some really exciting ones. And and this one, so we've talked on the podcast several times about the new season of Queer Eye that took place in Kansas City, which was season 3. And now on July 19th, Netflix is releasing season 4, also shot in Kansas City.
Yes. So like we said, we've talked about how this was a big deal for Kansas City. It brought this national spotlight and this big show came and filmed there. And they hired a lot of local production crew members to help shoot this these seasons. And we happen to know professionally one of the crew members. His name is Lucas Cohen. He used to work with us at the TV station, and he also has worked on several video projects with us as well. So we wanted to talk to him about what this whole process was like, what it was like to shoot for Queer Eye.
Okay, joining us now from Kansas City, Lucas Cohen, who was a camera operator on season 3 and 4 of Queer Eye, of course, when it was here in Kansas City. Lucas, welcome.
Hey guys, thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for being here.
So what's it like to finally be able to see the finished product of what you guys worked how many weeks on the season 3 and 4?
Yeah. So in total, it was about 16 weeks. We started a little after the 4th of July and ended right before Thanksgiving. So, 16 weeks, we worked 5, sometimes 6 days a week. We did have a couple of days off, here and there randomly throughout it, but for the most part, we were going nonstop. So, almost a year later now, being able to see all the episodes out is, it's pretty cool.
And you finally get to talk about it now, huh? I'm sure you weren't allowed.
Yeah, I know. We don't get to spill a whole lot. People come up and ask me all the time. They're like, oh, was this person, did they actually make the show? Oh, how did they do this? I'm like, I can't tell you. Talk to me, at the end of July.
Yeah.
Lucas, had you watched the new season of Queer Eye before you were hired?
You mean season 2?
Season 1 or 2.
Yeah, so I got reached out by, ITV, which is the company that hired everybody for it. And I'd seen, on Netflix, Queer Eye, I saw the ad for it or whatever, but I hadn't watched it. So, when I got the generic, hey, would you be interested in applying for this position? I was like, yeah, sure. As I'm scrolling through Netflix and clicking on it, I know exactly what that show is. So I watched season one, you know, right then and there, you know, just to see what it was. I was interested, you know, found out I was coming to Kansas City, so obviously wanted to know what was going on. And I really liked it. You know, those 8 episodes were really great. You know, I laughed, you know, I felt the emotion that everybody else did. And, you know, then season 2 came out like right before we started filming. So obviously I started, you know, I watched that as well, just because I was going to be filming. I wanted to know, you know, the flow of how everything went, you know, how they shot types of stuff, you know, just the overall, what I was going to expect, you know, during the next 16 weeks. So I definitely watched it.
So what was it like working with the guys? I'm sure you get asked that all the time.
It was a lot. I mean, you know, it's 5 guys running around and, you know, you're in reality situations. You know, a lot of people watch reality TV and you can tell stuff is very staged and very, you know, like, you know exactly what's going to happen and where people are going to be at what time. And that was not the case at all. They pretty much just let us loose. And the 5 of them ran around and did their thing. And we were literally running around behind them, you know, capturing everything that they could do. So they were a lot of fun. They were a lot of high energy. You know, they were great to work with. I have no complaints at all about them.
What's and it like? Really long days, right? Sorry.
Yeah, we worked 12-hour days. Granted, you know, probably the first hour to half an hour, and then the last hour to half an hour were like tear down type stuff, like just getting there and then coming back. But you know, I would put it in the 8 to 10 hour range that we were pretty much constantly filming the entire time.
And that was all over the Kansas City area, not just Kansas City, right?
Yeah, no, we went all over Kansas and Missouri side. We went as north as Amazonia, Missouri, which is, I think, like 1 hour and 10 minutes away from where we were stationed downtown. And then we went all the way down to Harrisonville, down south, which was about 1 hour south as well. So we really hit, you know, the big circle around Kansas City. And then obviously we were in Kansas City for a couple episodes. And then, you know, just the generic Kansas City shots. But we really went all over.
And Kansas City looks really good.
Yes. Yeah. It really
yeah,
does.
Yeah, no, it definitely does.
Yeah. I can tell you now that I don't live in Kansas City anymore, watching that really brought back a lot of good memories because it looks so good. So made me miss Kansas City a lot watching it.
Yeah, well, then you should move back, Kat.
Maybe eventually.
Season 4 is coming out. You need to move back to watch season 4. Like, I feel like it's only, you know, it's only fair.
Yeah, maybe you have a point. You have a point.
Well, she will be back.
Yeah, I think Mitch has a couple of bedrooms open. You could probably just crash there.
It wouldn't be the first time.
But soon. Oh, that's you did live with us when you first moved to Kansas City.
That's right, I did.
Huh. Good time.
I was going to ask, what's it like working for it's a major show on a major platform like Netflix. Like, did you feel that presence of, you know, Netflix, which is pretty much one of the biggest names in media right now? I mean, or is it just really like, it's like business as usual. You know what I mean? Like, it's like any other kind of shoot. Or did it feel special?
Well, it definitely felt special. I mean, I have done some stuff. I hadn't done anything for Netflix, but I had done some stuff for ABC and, you know, like Food Network, but I had never done a full, like 16 weeks. You know, I think the longest that I had done was like 8 weeks before this on one like specific job with like a big cast. So going in, I mean, I knew it was going to be bigger than what I had seen, but once you actually get there that first week, you know, the creators of the show are there, all of the Netflix execs are there. The guys are there, you know, there's friends of the production, like just all these people that had been part of the show the first time. And then now we're rebooting it. So it was all those people plus even more people. And then you got, you know, the Netflix people, you know, that's going on their streaming service. So the pressure was definitely there to perform. And the first episode we shot was Joey's episode down at the camp. And so you can imagine that many people on a campground that, you know, like usually, you know, it's in a house and you're in one confined area. Well, the campground, it was literally a campground. So we were running all over and with all these eyes on you in 100-degree weather, you know, in July in Kansas. You know, the pressure was definitely there. It was definitely bigger than anything that I had been a part of and bigger than, you know, a lot of the Kansas City stuff that I do on a daily basis. But, the Kansas City people, we held our own, you know, we all survived the days and it was a great experience and it really, you know, just kind of brought everything full circle.
Did you guys stay at the camp? like camp out?
No, we did not stay at the camp.
How many camera operators in all?
Yeah, so there were three of us. So there was Sue, who was she did seasons 1 and 2 of in Georgia. And then there was me, and then the third camera operator, his name was John. And John was from St. Louis, but he was living in Kansas City at the time. So he came out for part of the show, and the three of us were the operators. And then we had two assistant cameras that were doing all like the GoPro shots and, you know, the special rigging of things. So three of us were on, you know, the standard cameras. And we had two people that were kind of doing some specialty camera type stuff, you know, throughout.
How much of the crew was local Kansas City? Because I know they do hire some local crew to help with these kind of productions. I'm just curious.
I mean, pretty much everybody was local. Outside of Sue, and then a couple of the lead AC was out of town, and then the producers were all from out of town. But outside of that, it was pretty much all Kansas City. All the PAs were Kansas City. The DIT assistant editor was Kansas City. Me and John were Kansas City. Devontae, the AC, was Kansas City. All the sound operators were Kansas City. So really everything outside of the producers, you know, was locally sourced. So yeah, all the below the line jobs were all Kansas City people.
What kind of advice, Lucas, do you have for someone who might be interested in being a camera operator or a PA or audio or whatever, or they just want to break into basically what you consider the film industry? And what kind of advice do you have for them?
I mean, really the biggest advice I have is just to put yourself out there and to never say no. You know, I mean, that's really how I did it. I went to film school, but I went to KU's film school. And to be completely honest with you, I didn't really get a whole lot out of it. I got more jobs and then in college and out of college, just from networking and finding people that had shoots going on and offering, be like, hey, do you mind if I come PA for free, you know, for a couple of days? And there's a couple of short films that I worked on doing that. And then from there, you know, a couple people, you know, were shooting something else or had a commercial coming up or whatever it was, and they needed bodies and they remembered you because you did a good job. So, you know, they go, hey, it's not a full rate, but you want to come out for, you know, some money, some credit, get experience. Like, yeah, sure. And then, you know, as you go, you build, you learn, you know, constantly asking questions, be looking at what people are doing. If you're into audio, you know, pay attention to how they mic people and how the levels are set and where you have to position yourself. Like in a reality setting, you know, obviously we're running around like crazy. You don't see an audio op in that. And, you know, that's all strategic. You know, they find a place that they know that they're not going to get seen, or they dance behind the camera, you know, to make sure that they don't get in front of anything and ruin a shot. You know, just the little tricks and stuff that it takes to become an audio op. And the same thing for camera. You know, you see how people shoot stuff. You can see different styles of different operators. And when you have directors that do things a certain way versus the way directors do things another way, there's no right or wrong way to do anything. So as long as you're out there and you're putting yourself out there and you're not, you know, complaining about the job or, you know, trying to be lazy or playing on your phone and you're actively engaged in anything, if you go out of your way to get on set and you have the drive to do it, you'll learn everything and, you know, you'll slowly just make your way into whatever job it is that you want to do.
Yeah, I think that's good advice. And you are very busy, sir. I know you are, because, you know, we kind of run the same circles. So
yeah, I'm a little busier than my girlfriend would like me to be. Yeah. There's a lot of stuff around the house that I keep getting yelled at for not having done, but.
Do you have a favorite memory of your shooting with Queer Eye? Anything that stands out?
My favorite memory. So it was actually when we first, it was before we even shot, we had like a party or whatever, like a get to know you a couple of days before we started shooting. And Karamo came up to me and he looked at me and he goes, Lucas? And I'm like, why in the world would you know my name? And, you know, it's not really a good thing if people know your name the first day. And I had remembered that I had worked with Karamo like 3 years ago on a 3 years prior to that on a different show for the Discovery Network.
Wow.
Or Discovery Channel. And I mean, I knew that it was Karamo. So like, you know, I kind of played dumb, you know, not make me look like a little fanboy or whatever. But the fact that Karamo remembered me was cool. You know, like it was multiple years ago. It was only a couple days in Wichita, Kansas. But you know, Karamo remembered me and no one preempted him of that, which was pretty cool that, you know, he would do that. And, you know, we had a great relationship the entire run of the show. They were all fun to work with, but Karamo, you know, was a little extra just because of the fact that we had worked with each other before.
Yeah, that's really cool. And I think that shows kind of, he seems like just such a nice person. So that just solidifies it for me. Seems like such a nice guy.
Yeah, no, I mean, they all are. I mean, they really are. Like, it's like, I've done a lot of shows with a lot of different talent. And I can tell you that, and I'm not just saying this because I worked on it, I'm under a contract, that they're all very genuine people. You know, they all care, all five of them, you know, every day. Hey, how are you guys doing? You know, they'd go up to the PAs. Yeah, it doesn't matter who they were, you know, very personable. They wanted to know about your lives. They didn't, you know, they didn't show up for the job and then leave. They were there, you know, with us, hanging out with us, and we just happened to be making a great show in the process.
Okay, so we have to talk a little bit about JVN, because it seems like he's been making a lot of headlines these last few weeks. How would you describe working with JVN?
JVN hated my hair. So that's how I would describe it. If I was not on the show, I'm the type of person that would have been the prime candidate for a makeover from JVN and Tan specifically. So JVN would give me looks, you know, like, hey, you need to, like, you didn't shave, you know, so we kind of had like those inside jokes going the whole time, but he, exactly how he is on the show is exactly how he is in person. And it's awesome. He is one of the smartest and funniest people I've ever met in my entire life. He obviously is very good at what he does. And just his story and, you know, just how much success he's had and whatnot. He was awesome to work with. I really can't describe it to you. You know, it's just because of you got to be there type things. But there was never a dull moment. You know, we were laughing, we were cracking up. Like I said, he is so witty and he can come up with so many, you know, different pop culture references, you know, just off the top of his head. It's incredible.
That's funny you mentioned that, because I think a lot of people, when they watch the show, they think, oh, that's scripted, and JVN has a writer that comes up with all of his funny quips and things like that.
Oh, no, I mean, I can squash that rumor right now. Like, I was in the room. He definitely does not have a writer. He goes, and it's just, he's just always on, and he just whips it out of nowhere. I really don't know. I was the guy. So when you watch the show, they have the interviews where the Fab Five, you know, sit in the loft and they talk to the camera. And I don't know the exact time that we had allotted, but they would allot, you know, maybe, I want to say 2 hours per episode per person. Maybe a little less than that. Regardless, they allotted a certain amount of time per person per episode where they come in and we do the interviews, and JVN's were always the longest. And it's not because he was messing up. It's not because he, you know, couldn't do it. He would just be on a roll. And they wouldn't stop him because he would just, like, you never knew what the next thing was going to be, and it could have been gold. You know, they get preemptive questions, like they get interviewed. It's not scripted. The producers ask him questions. And they would ask JVN one question, and then 2.5 hours later, the interview would be over. You'd have every single thing that you needed answered, and then a million gold clips that you can use for all the funny moments, you know, the rest of the show, and you didn't even have to do anything.
Well, that's good to hear, because they do seem like genuinely all funny, especially Jonathan. So it's nice to hear that it's not just a facade, you know, like, you know, you never know when you watch people on screen if they're what you think they are. So that's good to know. Yeah.
Lucas, from season 3, do you have a favorite person or persons that they made over?
Yeah, I mean, season 3 is an easy one. The Jones sisters were by far the best of that grouping. So we didn't actually shoot the show in the order that it was released. So there's a lot of people in season 4 that we shot in the process. So a lot of my favorites are actually in season 4, but the Jones are one of my favorites overall, no matter what. They were so genuine. When they got their teeth done, I was in the room, and, you know, I'm an emotional person, but I'm not super emotional. And I found myself being emotional in that moment when she looked at herself in the mirror and was, you know, about to bawl her eyes out, and she was high on, like, whatever, laughing gas, whatever it was that she was on. Like, it was just one of those perfect storm things where, you know, like, they got me, and I don't get got very often. But like, yeah, just that whole week was an amazing week, hanging out with them and doing the bottling and you know, shooting at their restaurant and watching the five guys, you know, go in there and help them sell. It was really an awesome week.
How did all of you fit in that tiny little barbecue place?
I can't imagine.
We didn't all fit. We actually had to get super creative. So the director of the show, his name's Hisham, who's incredible, by the way. He's the guy that did Laguna Beach. He's a very well-known director.
Hmm.
But he, you know, he would scout the locations before we got there, so we knew we were getting into. And, you know, he was smart, and we opened up all the windows of the place, and people were shooting through windows. We were shooting off of reflections of stuff. One person was in there, you know, kind of getting the safety, like, why just get everything you can type deal.
Yeah.
But the rest of us were, like I said, shooting through windows and doorways and just strategically placed so that we could get what we needed to get.
It was funny because when I was watching that episode, I'm like, I know there's more than one camera in there because of all the different angles and the moments you guys captured that they couldn't, it was so authentic and you knew it was happening that there's no way that you guys had to, there had to be some kind of trickery to pull that off. So that's fun to know.
Yeah. I don't know if anyone has the BTS pictures or the video, but I would love to see him of just a little hut, you know, not a hut, the building, getting, you know, everything that we could. You know, through the little holes that we could. There were some times where, like, John would be standing on an apple box, so he'd be a couple inches taller than me, and then I would be, like, squatting down under his armpit, and we'd both be shooting through a doorway, you know, just trying to figure out a way to do it. And, you know, when it's happening live, you just got to figure it out and do it as quickly as you can.
Well, it all looks great, so you guys did a phenomenal job.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
So, Lucas, for all the techie geeks out there, they might be wondering what kind of gear you guys use for Queer Eye, and was it your own gear?
Yeah, so we used Sony FS7 Mark IIs were the cameras that we used, and then we used a Canon 17-120 zoom lens. That setup is pretty standard for anything reality TV that you're going to see, just because you can shoot high-quality 4K video and not have to use, you know, a million terabytes worth of footage. So, you know, I mean, three cameras rolling about 8 hours a day, you know, the amount of footage that we have stacks up very quickly. So, you know, we couldn't use something that had some crazy file size. So the FS7 is pretty standard across the way. And no, we didn't use any of our own gear. All of the gear was pretty much rented out through ITV, which is the company that hired all of us.
So, do you enjoy shooting reality-based things, or are you more, I mean, or scripted stuff? I mean, and what's the difference? What do you enjoy more?
I mean, it's really hard. I'm going to give you a cliche answer. My big thing, and this is one of the reasons that I left the news station, was that I love shooting stories. I don't really care what medium those stories get told in. A lot of my work is reality documentary-type work. But you know, there's stories that need to be told through scripted TV too, or scripted, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. So I would say that I do more reality and documentary work, just, you know, from the little niche that I've gotten myself into. But if someone came to me and said, hey, you know, I got this film, here's the story, and I like the story, I'm not going to say no.
Not it.
So at the end of the day, I'm not sitting behind a cubicle. I can tell stories that I think deserve to be told. It doesn't matter what it is outside of that. As long as, you know, I can do that, I'm happy.
Cool.
Okay. What about the dog that, that kind of became the mascot
the dog.
Season 3 and 4?
Brulee. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Brulee was fun. He was, you know, he was the biggest diva on the entire set. He wouldn't sit when we would tell him to sit. He constantly was eating food. No, I'm just kidding. Brulee was awesome. I mean, I'm a dog person. I have three dogs. You might have heard him in the background wrestling a second ago. I had to go in and break
that's
up a little.
That's what made me think of Brulee.
Yeah, they. I mean, I love dogs. I mean, I was playing with Brulee, but there were so many people around that I had to share Brulee, so I didn't get as much quality time with him as I'd like to. But no, he was fun. I know the guys liked him, and I know he liked the guys too, mainly because they would feed him treats all the time.
Oh yeah,
and he was. He was just the pet of somebody who lived in the building that they were in, right?
Yeah, he was just, I mean, he wasn't a random dog. I mean, they asked. It's not like they stole the dog and just decided, hey, we're going to start filming with him. But yeah, he was just, you know, the guys lived in the loft and there was just a dog that would happen to come by, you know, and hang out every now and then. And if he was there, we'd pull the camera out, we'd shoot it. And if he wasn't there, obviously we just didn't shoot it.
That's cute. I like it. That's cool.
Okay. So give us a little preview of who we might be seeing in season four that we should keep an eye on.
All right. So my favorite episode in season four, and granted, I haven't seen them, but my favorite person, Deanna, is one of the ladies. She is the, I'm going to get this wrong. She's the president or the founder of the Latina Arts Festival, the Latina Arts of Kansas City, something along those lines. But she works for a foundation that is all about promoting the arts within the Latino community here in Kansas City. And she was awesome. She was super sweet. Her cause is awesome. Her family's awesome. All of her friends are awesome. You know, and then the guys came in and took that baseline of awesomeness and then just skyrocketed it. So that episode's really cool. I actually went to high school with the wife of one of the people that are going to be in season four. Forgetting his name. That's really bad. What was his name? Brandon. His name was Brandon. So here, I'll start that over again. okay. I went to high school with the wife of Brandon. He's part of the Veteran Community Project, who builds the tiny homes for all the veterans out in, I think it's Lee Summit. So that episode's really cool, and it was kind of weird when I show up, because we show up and shoot the backstory for all these people. So we go see them with their families and, you know, interview them about that. And I walk in and someone that I knew from high school was sitting on the couch, and then, you know, to find out that it's his wife, you know, it was kind of a shock. Fun fact for you, she actually dated my best friend in sixth grade. So I've known her for a very long time.
Wow.
I think that relationship might have lasted, you know, maybe a week or two.
So this was last
but, long. It was, she upgraded with Brandon, let's just put it that way. So no, that was a fun episode. I'm trying to think of what the other ones are.
So we're going to interview John Stoner this week.
Oh yeah.
Well, so the cat suit guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. John Stoner was awesome. I mean, obviously I knew who John Stoner was, you know, just being a Kansas City sports fan myself. You know, I had actually met him before, and I've worked with him on some other stuff that, like, you know, they highlighted him or whatever, like when the Royals were in the World Series and whatnot.
Yeah.
So being able to go in and see, you know, the backside of what, you know, no one gets to see his home life and whatnot was really cool too. I will say, when they do the backstory package, pay careful attention, because there is a moment, and I really hope they use the shot that I got. I'm not going to spoil it for you, but I shot the shot, I got it, and then afterwards I rolled on the floor laughing because I was losing it of what happened. So pay attention to the beginning couple minutes of the episode, and I really hope they use this shot. And if they didn't use the shot, you can interview me again, and I'll tell you what it was so we can all laugh about it.
Okay. Nice little teaser. That's good.
So I'm going to his watch party on Friday, so I will be sure to text you and let you know.
Oh, nice.
yeah. So I don't think I have anything else. So
what are some of the weirdest questions you've been asked once somebody knows that you were part of the crew for season 3 and 4?
Yeah, so for some reason, and I this has happened to a couple other crew members too, so I don't know if like someone put out a blog post or something about it, but apparently since I worked on it, or since we worked on it, we are officially experts enough that we can answer questions that like Can would answer. So I've had people ask me like, oh, like, you know, you shoot stuff. What do you shoot? I was like, yeah, I do this thing. You know, it's called Queer Eye on Netflix. Oh my gosh, where should I go buy this? And I'm like, I do not know. And then like some people, like I've had like women ask me like about hair products. And I'm sitting here like, I'm one of the most unkept people you'll ever meet. Like, what do you think I know about hair products? So apparently, you know, the only questions I haven't gotten are like, I haven't gotten any like life advice. So I haven't become Karamo. But I've become everybody else. I've become Bobby. I've become Tan. I've become Anthony. And I've become JVN. And I am nowhere near qualified to answer any of the questions. And if you look at me or my house, you will understand why.
So they didn't do any little mini makeovers on the crew at all?
I was not the recipient of any of them. I mean, they were having fun, and there was a couple of people that got it. But I was low man on the totem pole. So apparently I must not be that bad if I wasn't the worst case scenario. I didn't need an emergency makeover on set.
I guess that's a compliment, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay, Lucas, so if somebody wanted to see some of your work or maybe they have a question about what you do, how can they reach you?
The easiest way to reach me is probably on my Instagram, which is lfalco25. I post, behind the scenes stuff of stuff I'm working on. And, I do a lot of photography work. So like we went to Italy not too long ago. So I have a bunch of Italy pictures on there. So if you really want to look, that's probably the easiest way. My email and my phone number are an easy way to get me too, which are both on my Instagram. So, if you really have a question that needs answering right away, you can just go that route. But I'm pretty accessible. I'm not here for secrets or hiding. If you've got a question, I'm more than happy to help.
Any plans to move to Hollywood in the future?
I'm trying to get Hollywood to move here so I don't have to.
That's a great, great thing. I agree. I hope that this, the success of Queer Eye in Kansas City opens up a lot more to film in Kansas City because it's really good for the city. And I just really hope that.
Yeah.
And I hope the state I definitely takes agree with you. Too.
Yeah, I would love for, more stuff like that to come in. Just being completely honest, I don't think that without a tax incentive, that's really going to happen. Mm-hmm. I know downtown Kansas City has theirs, but it's very minimal compared to what, Atlanta and all them have to offer. Mm-hmm. So without it statewide, and really it's got to be a dual statewide because you got to get Kansas and Missouri just because, half the locations are in one state, half the locations are in the other. We could do some damage in the Midwest. I currently work a lot out of town just because the need for bigger type stuff doesn't come through here for whatever reason. So I would love to be able to keep my, low home costs. I live on an acre, in Kansas City. I got no problem paying my bills because my mortgage is pretty low. So I would love to be able to stay home, do some of those projects that my girlfriend's getting on me about around the house and still being able to do the big project, throughout the year.
Yep.
Well, the state legislature was very close last year. Unfortunately, abortion had to come up at the last minute. But I actually spoke with, and I'm not speaking out of turn, but the film commissioner here in Kansas City, and she says that next year is looking pretty good. So
good.
They actually didn't. They were afraid something would come up the last minute, but she said now they're on a roll and they got so much momentum last year that all of these other lawmakers, they're well aware and they know exactly how important tourism is to this area. And it's incredible what that can do. Look at Atlanta in Georgia.
Right. Exactly.
It's done.
Just call your state representative about it if you think a tax credit would help, and I do think it would. So if you're for it, just let them know. So
yeah,
we'll see in the future.
Anyway. Excellent. Well, Lucas, thank you so much for joining us. We definitely look forward to the next season of Queer Eye. It will drop on July 19th on Netflix, and I love watching the episodes. I try not to binge. I want to.
It's very hard not to binge him.
But it's fun that you can just skip around to the different episodes. So
yes, season 3 was great. I'm sure season 4 is great. And again, like Lucas, all you guys did a phenomenal job. It looks great. Kansas City looks amazing in this show. So just well done.
Oh well, thank you, and I appreciate that. And just as a final thought, I have been saying this to pretty much everyone I come across that talks about the show. Is that Netflix does this really weird thing where they don't show all of the credits after every episode. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying you need to sit through the credits for every single episode you watch, but these are, we had 40 something Kansas City crew members on this. Sit there at least one time and watch them all through and see all the people that worked on the show, because it is a lot of us and we're very proud of it. So like I said, you don't have to watch it every single time. You can hit that skip to next episode. You don't have to wait 20 seconds. But if for one time you could take 20 seconds, that would be awesome.
I do it every single time, Lucas, because I want to see your name up there.
I do, and I point it out and I say, I know that guy. Look at him.
Well, not to call you out on your own show, but you're lying. But we can we can move fast.
Oh, I do.
I do too. Well, I don't watch it every time, okay? But I have.
Okay. I'm gonna need video evidence.
Okay. I did for real the first time. And then the other times I just let it play out because, you know, I'm probably on my iPad at that time too. But I do look for your name whenever it's there.
Well, if you're telling the truth, it's appreciated.
Well, we're proud of you.
We are proud of you.
Oh, well, thank you.
All right, there you go. That was Lucas again. He's a friend of ours. We've known him and we've worked with him for a few years now. So it was just really cool to hear that sort of insider perspective. And I mean, I can tell you, having worked with Lucas, both Mitch and I have worked with him, and he's a really hard worker and he's very talented. And so I'm really glad that he was involved in something like this, because he, you know, he's just really good. And it really shows when you watch these seasons too. So.
And I didn't think he needed a haircut makeover, but again, I didn't see Lucas for 16 weeks. So maybe it got really long. He didn't.
Maybe he did.
Cut. But that's a lot of pressure. I mean, working on a makeover show and then they're like, you need to clean it up.
You need a shave. You're right. Like
top to bottom, top to bottom.
Do a little French tuck, that sort of thing.
I would love to see Lucas try and French tuck.
I really would too.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll have to ask him that next time. Hey, Lucas, yeah. Can I see you French tuck that shirt that's almost down to your knees?
Right. Yeah. Give me your cargo shorts. Could we do that, please?
Hey, watch with the cargo shorts. I like cargo shorts. Hey,
I know, but I'm sure Tan France has feelings about cargo shorts. So.
I bet he does.
Yeah. anyway, it's just it was great to hear that, and can't wait to watch the new season. So again, it just really makes Kansas City look really good. So.
Yeah, Kansas looks so good on TV. So, obviously, guys, we want you to always join the conversation with us. Let us know what you think of this new season of Queer Eye, if you're binging it in the next couple of days, or if I was talking to Kitty, the next couple of hours.
Right, exactly.
So, she will stay up.
I mean, it's meant for binging, so come on. Yeah, but please, you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at A Gallon A Gay. I had to think for a second. It's been a long night, so I'm just kind of tired.
But, and also our website.
Again. Oh, our website. We have a website. Duh.
Yeah, right. On Podbean.
And Podbean. And we're on Spotify. Remember, we talked about that earlier.
We got it figured out, the Spotify thing. Right. It was touch and go there first.
It was.
And so, yeah. And also, you should follow other podcasts as well on the Podbean platform. Podbean has been very supportive of our podcast since the beginning, especially in the last couple of weeks. We were just on their list of podcasts to listen to for the summer. So we appreciate that.
Yeah, they have all kinds of podcasts for all sorts of interests. So definitely check them out. So, okay, until next time, guys, we'll see you later.
Bye.
Bye.